Email todayradio@rte.ie.
Well, lots of you getting in touch on 51551 about the funeral of Bobby Storey yesterday, the crowds that gathered and the decision by leadership figures in Sinn Féin to attend. Different people saying different things on this. One person says, Sarah, come down here to North Cork. There are thousands of people lining the roads for every single funeral in the past 3 months. Some people do social distance, the majority do not. No different to the funeral in Cork yesterday. Liam says, I'm a strong Sinn Féin supporter, but I think that yesterday's funeral was a shame and disgrace. Grace with no social distancing. Joe in Dublin says, having watched that poor, heartbroken 94-year-old woman on RTÉ Investigates who didn't get to say goodbye to her husband of 70 years who died, Pierce's defence of the funeral is infuriating. And then another person says, what a waste of time questioning about the funeral when every funeral in the country has people lining the streets. Well, you can keep your text coming to 51551. You can tweet us as well at Today Radio RTÉ. Now, since they reopened, charity shops have been inundated with donated items many of us are looking to get rid of during lockdown clearouts in our homes, mostly clothing. And in one UK study, it found 2 in 5 people reported wanting to get rid of items after lockdown, and charities hope to benefit from this, from the great COVID clearouts. Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell has been to one charity shop here who have seen a huge rise in these donated items since they have reopened. And it does make sense, really, Brian, doesn't it, that we would have spent some of the time locked down over the last couple of months filling bags with unwanted items.
Absolutely, sir. I mean, many of us have never spent as much time at home. So yes, I think there have been wardrobes and spare rooms and under beds cleared out like never before. And I suppose all this means that everything from those funky swimming shorts that you never wore to the Debs dresses, in my case, an extensive Paisley shirt collection, books, toys, they all need to be gotten rid of. And with almost half the respondents of a recent survey indicating they would donate to charity shops instead of maybe throwing items out, we can expect charity shops to benefit. And some that I've been speaking to, they're already seeing a really an unprecedented rise in the number of donated items since they reopened.
So you went and visited one?
I went to the St. Vincent de Paul shop, which is on the New Road in Mallow yesterday. And the first thing, I suppose, that was very noticeable was the fact that Mallow town was alive, really. People were having lunch, coffees, they were queuing outside shops. The commercial life of towns and cities has come back, as we know. And the shop was very busy, not only with shoppers, but also wave after wave of locals who were donating items. We began in the storeroom, actually. One wall on the left-hand side was full of bags of items which have been arriving since last week. They think they're getting 4 to 5 times the number of items since they opened. And those bags of items are going to be quarantined for 72 hours. Then they'll be processed. I was with shop manager Niamh Walsh and we had a look around the store area.
Wow, I mean, the first thing that strikes me is the sheer number of bags on the left-hand side. But
we probably had double this last week and the week before when we reopened. This would be the general amount of bags we get in, about 30 to 45 a day.
My name is Ursula Bossman. I'm the regional retail manager for the South West, which is Cork and Kerry.
What are you expecting at the moment, like in the next week or two? Are you expecting people to have had stockpiled lots of items?
A lot of our customers had, and a lot of our customers have been queuing up to give us donations over the last 2 weeks since we opened, and even prior to opening, some of the shops were taking donations while they were prepping the shops for opening. Previous to the shops opening, our clothing banks were very busy because customers were constantly choosing ours and donating volumes of stock, so we had stockpiles for the shops to open as well.
So, you know, compared to, say, 6 months ago, you wouldn't have had the volume coming through all at once like you're having now?
No, incredible amount of donations. We were waiting every week for it to taper off and it never tapered off. So I think there's empty cupboards and empty wardrobes everywhere. We were able to open all our shops with completely new stock, as in new to what customers had seen before. We have always steamed our clothing before it goes on to the shop floor, and that continues in all areas. So after 3 days quarantining, everything is sorted and is put out.
The other side of it is you're getting a lot more donations, so you're getting a lot more items probably as well that you can't sell. Like, what percentage do you imagine will end up in a skip?
Well, because we have such a clear out happening, there's obviously going to be a lot of bad with the good. There's certain things that aren't saleable or broken or whatever, they are skipped and recycled. We recycle as much as possible. Textile is all recycled, so we work with recycling partners, and I suppose it's probably about 50 to 60% of what's coming in isn't saleable.
That high?
Yeah, it can be. When you consider the volumes that's coming in at the moment as well.
Wow, 50 to 60% of items can't be used. That's a very large amount, isn't it, Brian?
I was surprised at that. So obviously soiled clothing, broken items, a lot of it will be recycled through companies, some of it sent abroad. But the sheer volume of stuff coming in, as you heard, it means a lot of work. So I think it's a very good time to be a customer of charity shops because they're going to have constantly evolving stock with the amount of stuff that's been donated. I know actually from covering charity shops in the past, online shopping has led to an increase in donations because people mightn't get around to returning items. So you're getting really good quality items being donated. I did chat to some of the customers who were in that store, St. Vincent de Paul in Mallow yesterday, and they were looking for bargains, obviously. And there was also one man donating items.
And five. That's lovely. Thanks very much.
What have you come in for?
Books.
Did you do any bit of clearing out yourself?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
How many bags did you fill?
I only filled two because I was only at the movie house.
My name is Dawn. I'm a regular customer here. I love coming in here because it's like a boutique. Everything is colour coordinated, as you can see. You can get a gem in here, like that dress there, as you can see.
Fabulous.
It has a price tag on it already and it's brand new. So the price was originally 80 and they're selling it for 40.
And have you noticed since you've been in here the last few days, there's a lot of new stock?
Yeah, there's always, the thing with this shop is, I don't know if it's Niamh that does it, but there's always new stock coming every so often.
What about you? Have you been clearing out the house?
I have, and I only donate to here.
Are you buying that dress?
No, it wouldn't fit me. The last dress I got in here, there was a price tag, I think, of 120, and I got it for 20.
20 euro?
Mm. It was a boutique style dress.
I know where I'm going to be doing my wife's Christmas shopping.
I know, yeah. Just take the tags off in time.
I'll be sticking on the other tags.
Yeah.
Show me what you were donating there.
Catan board game. We got this for kids. And guess what? Never ever used.
Board games. So these are brand new board games.
Pretty
yeah.
much. So
have you been doing a clear out over the last few weeks at home?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
As you see, the kids are growing, so everything we don't need.
And I really noticed with our kids, because they've been home, it's really struck me what toys they don't play with.
Threw away so many expensive toys, you know, gifts from aunts and uncles, like brand new, never used.
And for you, is it the feeling that at least if you donate here, you know it's going to be going back towards a good cause?
Like, to be honest, the last thing I want to do, I just want to throw it away. Like, that's the worst thing you can do.
It's amazing, really, Brian. Lots of interesting sounding items there available in the shop. What about the volunteers, though, who are working with all this increased number of donations? Have they enough people to help out?
It's a big issue, actually, because obviously many people who are volunteering can be over 70, so they're obviously not going to volunteer at the moment. In the Mallow shop alone, they're down 15 volunteers, so it's a big issue. And charity shops I know around the country are looking for as many volunteers as possible. These shops really are like mini community hubs. People come in for a chat as much as a bargain, and that contact with the community is very important, so they're all very happy to be reopening. Before I left them to sort through the bags and bags of donations they had, I did have a chat with one of the volunteers. She's been giving up her time every week for the past 30 years, and I had a quick chat about some of the more unusual items which have been donated. So let's begin with volunteer Sheila, and we'll hear about some valuable items that can sometimes turn up in charity shops.
We have a lot of volunteers, so we all have our own rota. And I have been doing the Tuesday morning for years now.
Some great bargains to be had.
We have lovely clothes, children's, ladies, men's. We have a lot of bric-a-brac, as you can see here.
I'm looking at some nice Delphi, it would be a nice wedding present.
Lovely, lovely stuff.
15 euro for the, what are they? It's cups and saucers.
China, it's a set of china. People do get presents that they don't use and they bring them in to us.
And you have the signs on the ground, you have the Perspex screens.
Yes. We have everything in place. You never know what's going to come in, but
you must love being back, engaging with people again.
It's great. It's great. Yeah.
It must have been a long 14 weeks when you were used to it.
We couldn't wait to get back again because all the staff know each other well. I think we have our own mornings and we have our own friends, and then the customers. Some of them are regulars. They come very often to us.
Did you have a bag or two to donate yourself?
After the clear out, and sell some more at home to could be brought.
This is one item that was donated to our shop in Dingle, which isn't even open a year yet, by a local artist. Her name is Maria Simmons Golding. We haven't put it out for sale yet because apparently it's quite valuable. So
we're talking a couple of thousand?
Apparently. Yes, so we won't price things extraordinarily. The customers can't afford to shop with us. But because we're looking at how we can generate as much funds as possible, it'd be wrong of us to undersell something that somebody has donated to us that's worth quite a bit as well. At the end of the day, the money goes to the conferences, and the conferences do incredible work with it. So it's a full circle.
And we should say as well, Brian, that while it's very welcome, obviously the shops are open, they've also faced a significant financial hit.
Very significant. The Irish Charity Shops Association say closures during COVID-19 pandemic came at a loss of 15 million in sales. St Vincent de Paul previously said shops lost 2 million during the lockdown. So large amount of donations we've been hearing about, they're certainly going to help, but there's a big financial hole to try and gap there in many charities.
All right, Brian O'Connell, thank you very much for that report. We'll be back next.
Today with Sarah McInerney on RTE Radio 1.
Restart your journey towards a greener Ireland for 2022 with Hyundai. Your Hyundai dealer is ready to answer your questions about electric, hybrid and eco-friendlier petrol and diesel models. Because Hyundai don't have just one, we have all the power options. Visit Hyundai.ie to discover our 2022 offers. Restart your journey towards a greener Ireland at Hyundai.ie.
Life admin. Yep, it even sounds boring. No wonder it goes on the long finger. But when you do get round to it, a good place to start is by reviewing your mortgage. You really never know if there's a better option unless you look into it. That's where the Ulster Bank mortgage team could help. Wherever you bank, get in touch and find out about switching your mortgage to us. Just search Ulster Bank Switch. Ulster Bank. Help for what matters. Over 18s only. Ulster Bank Ireland DAC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Today with Sarah McInerney on RTÉ Radio 1. Sponsored by Hidden Hearing. Times have changed, but what we love remains. Your hearing is our expertise. HiddenHearing.ie.
Today with Sarah McInerney. Listen back on the RTÉ Radio Player app.
Well, yesterday we were speaking to Johnny Fallon about upping sticks and going to Longford from Dublin and making that big move. Well, today I want to take you to the island, because that was the line in the Paul Brady song, and that's what we're going to do right now. Owen Boyle and Anne Burney are the lucky winners of a worldwide competition to find caretakers on the famous Blasket Island. And Owen Boyle is on the line now, as well as Annie. And thank you both very much for joining me this morning. Owen, I might start with yourself. Why? Why go for this?
Oh, sure, that's the question, isn't it? Indeed. But, I suppose it was just the romance of the whole thing, as well as just the whole adventure. We fell in love with it last year when it came up on the Instagram and we were following it, and we slowly realised that this was a job that we could actually do. And just the thought, sure, why not? Let's throw our hands in the ring and see if we can get this great adventure.
I don't know, Annie, the romance of it. It's an island with no electricity. Where's the romance?
That's for me, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, is when you're looking out at it, it feels pretty romantic now, I have to say, you know. We're working away on the houses here and we're getting the houses lovely and tidy. But sometimes you'd be walking across between the houses and you'd have the bucket in your hand and you just have to stop, because it is absolutely stunning. So I suppose it's not a romance from romantic films, but there definitely is a romance to the landscape here, you know?
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your lives before you landed on the island. Owen, I might start with you. What were you doing?
So I was working in Airfield Estate in Dundrum with a group called Walk. So I was doing a work placement programme with adults with disabilities.
And would you have been interested in, you know, I don't know, mountain walking or the great outdoors, or, you know, would you always have been inclined towards something like this?
Oh, yeah, outdoors has always been what I want, you know, and I got that through Airfield, and previous to that I was working in another outdoor education as well. I've always felt more comfortable being outside. Annie would say I'm in shorts 90% of the year.
Okay. And what about yourself, Annie? What were you doing?
Well, before this job, I was working in the National Museum, in their archaeology museum. And before that, and I worked in a place called Glasnevin Cemetery as well. I was in their museum there. So I suppose a lot of my work so far in my adult life has been talking to people about different history and, you know, certain kind of really special places around Ireland as well. And the Blasket Island certainly fit the bill for that too.
All right. So you decided to apply, and so too did lots and lots of other people. I think it was 10,000 or something like that. What did you have to do to apply, and what did you say in your application?
Well, we were talking a lot about I suppose, first of all, we wrote in a letter, and we spoke a little bit about our love of nature and our love of the heritage of Ireland. And then also, I suppose, the fact that, you know, it's important to love these places, but also to share any knowledge you have or any love of this heritage and culture of Ireland as well. So we were talking about our passions in that sense. And on top of that, I suppose we were interested to talk about any, to find out about any skills that we might need, because we were aware that this would be such a big change. So that, I suppose, was the letter. We stuck a picture of ourselves in with our, sorry, my voice is coming back to me a bit there, but we stuck a picture of ourselves after making the climb up Bray Head, just so they'd know what we looked like as well. And I suppose that was it, you know.
What do you think, Owen?
We were so hopeful, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, Owen, what you thought it clinched it for you, because actually I'm way off. It wasn't 10,000 people, it was 45,000 people who applied, and you two managed to get there. So what do you think clinched it for you?
Well, I think the letter was a big part of it, but it's also then maybe because we got in kind of early as well, because we slowly were following it, and every update we saw there was another 1,000, 5,000 applications, and we just slowly thought, well, sure, we tried, but if it comes, it comes, you know. And that's really been, it's just been a whirlwind of emotions, really, the whole last 6 months.
And
since
sure.
We threw in the letter.
And Andy said that you had to look at skills that you might have. What skills do you need, Owen?
Well, absolutely. It's kind of, we've both done education and tour guiding and all these things. So dealing with people is no real issue to us. But when it comes to managing the accommodation, so we have, I'd like to thank my mother for teaching me postage stamp corners for the beds growing up, you know, and all these about, you know, being thorough about getting things clean and shiny, you know. So it's been a lot of those skills that I've had to come into practice and to start getting honed, and also speed, you know, trying to make sure you get houses turned around for guests as they arrive and as people leave.
Yeah, but how are you doing all that, Annie, when you've no power, you've no running water, you've no heating?
It's funny, that's another skill I was going to mention, is problem solving. Problem solving and resilience, because, you know, we've been here a few days already, but already you start to think in a different way as well, because you can't run down to the shop and get something if it's broken, or, you know, if you find something in your house, you think, okay, what are the different things I could use this for? So I suppose, you know, cleaning, it's good old elbow grease, you know, for getting the houses clean. And even though, I mean, like, there is no electricity on the island, there is a small, what would you call it, wind turbine that is able to charge a phone just for safety. So we would always have a charged phone on the island just in case we need to make a call to the mainland. But other than that, it's just a case of getting stuck in and scrubbing as well, and making sure the places are nice and cosy when people come back from their walks around the island.
So how long have you been there now?
Since Wednesday. So it's all very new.
How has the weather been? The island is famous for the slanty rain.
Yeah, we've seen a bit of that, all right. We've had one or two sunny patches. So far, it's been, I suppose, you know, it has. We've already had a little patch of bad weather where we had the island to ourselves. And there's been no full sunny day, but definitely sunny patches.
Okay.
But to be honest with you, I love it so far, even when there's big grey clouds in the air and you can see the sheets of rain moving across some of the other islands and stuff.
Owen, can you describe your average day to me then so far? You've been there since Wednesday. What did yesterday look like?
Oh, well, God, I don't know what an average day is just yet. You know, we've been it's all over the place. But I suppose yesterday we had people staying who were leaving, and new people coming. So we get up in the morning, they're out of the house kind of around 10 or 11, and we get in, strip the beds, clean the bed, you know, make them, hoover the house, and just clean all surfaces and polish and make sure that they have all the full stock of cutlery and bowls and plates, and that all the bits and pieces are working in the house, and they have all the basics for cooking with. And then just go to the next house and do the same thing.
Okay.
We're doing that. So and people will check in then about 2 o'clock. And then from then we keep an eye, and we might help them light the fires and get things going. And then we just get a bit of time to ourselves. So we're still sorting out our own space as well at the moment, and going for small walks. We haven't quite got to the far side of the island just yet.
All right. So what are you going to do then in the long winter evenings? I mean, I'm assuming there's no television.
No television at all. So one thing that's just been such a pleasure so far has been the fires in the evening. So far anyway, when our work is done, when we're sitting down for the evening, we're either looking into the fire or looking out the window. We're reading a little bit by candlelight, which is amazing. And looking out the window, you think, you know, you get used to the view, but every time you look out, every 5 minutes, the view changes and the weather changes, and even the cloud cover on the mainland changes. So it's almost like television in a way. You could just sit there and look at it for minutes or hours.
I just wonder, though, Annie, yeah, are you worried at all that you'll want to change the channel, you know, sometime in the next couple of months?
No, it's a good question. Like, not so far, anyway. The other thing that I've noticed so far is, I was just going to say, like, you would get after, you know, you're working quite hard during the day and you're out in all weathers. So you get so much pleasure out of something as simple as just sitting down with your dinner or something like that. Like all these simple things that you might have rushed through before, you're just really enjoying every moment of it now.
And are you missing Owen being plugged in? I expect actually that's probably a stupid question, because if you were, you wouldn't have gone to the Blasket Island for a year if you were concerned about that. But are you worried that you might miss it, you know, not having the news and like life sort of coming at you the way it would normally?
Yeah, well, what's really interesting here is that there's a tower on the mainland, so we have an uninterrupted signal out here to the island, so we're not totally disconnected, as a lot of my friends and family have actually been thinking as when we'll be coming out here. You know, I have a better signal here than some parts of Dublin when I was living up there. So we're not totally isolated.
All right, okay, so there is that option there. And what about the two of ye then? So you're there on the island together, and yeah, you have strangers coming and going and coming and going, but you're reliant on each other, really.
Massively, yeah. So, yeah.
How's absolutely that going to be?
I'll let you answer that one, Owen.
Grant, yeah, well, it is grand so far. No, we've had, like, isolation, I suppose, the last couple of months has been ideal practice for us getting used to our own company solely, you know, and not relying on calling over to other people and going around to family and friends, you know. So we got used to each other in small space, and that's really, I think, standing to us for here. And we just, yeah, we got to the stage now where we're not afraid to tell each other what we're thinking without worrying the other one getting annoyed.
Okay, well, that's also a good skill to have. You should have put that in your application form, you did. What about Christmas then? Will you go home for Christmas, or how will that work?
We will, yeah. Just the way the season runs at the moment, it normally runs from about April until the start of October. So that's our kind of bait on the island at the moment, is to bring us, all going well, right up to the end of September, and then we'll be back on the mainland then from then on.
All right. OK, yeah. Well, Owen Boyle and Annie Burney, thank you both very much for joining me. And Annie, actually, we do have a texter in, one of our listeners, to say to tell Annie that her concertina playing will be very much missed at the remaining lockdown summer concerts. So there you go, Annie. But you will be back, as you said. But thank you so much for joining us. Brilliant. And enjoy the island.